Good morning. It's the first Sunday of the month, and if you're new here, welcome. My name is Dan. I'm one of the pastors here, and we like to do something on the first of every month when we're able, and it's called My Living Letters Series. We're in for a really special treat today from a dear friend, Andrea. I'll get that right, Andrea. Andrea from Romania, and I'm going to invite her up in a moment. The Bible says, Apostle Paul speaking, you yourselves are our living letter, a living epistle, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. Speaking of living letters, look at that right there. And I love the fact that Paul at one point says, our goal is that we would present all of you absolutely perfect in Christ. And when you see the different stories that God has brought here over the years, this is the start of a beautiful story right here. And others, newlyweds, newly to be weds, and you just watch the miracle unfold. It's pretty beautiful. And we want people to encounter Christ, engage in discipleship, and allow him to do what only he can do, conform you into his image. And I was on the phone with Andrea, and I promised myself, after hearing a podcast that said men should be stoic, in control, leaders, don't ever cry in front of people. I guess it's a bit late for that one. Okay, I'm going to get Andrea to tell her story, and I'll be composed and controlled, and I'm listening to it for an hour. And the bad news is I had an eye injury last week, which revealed my dry eye syndrome, which is really bad. Good news is I bawled my eyes out from the start of the hour to the end of the hour listening to Andrea tell her story. So thank God for Andrea and for coming to tell us your story, Andrea. A living letter, known and read of all men. So let me assist you. As I mentioned, Andrea is from Romania. We're going to hear a lot about that today. And we're just thankful that the Lord just keeps sending people our way. And for those of you who are just engaging in connecting with us, we know the Lord has sent you too. And the longer I'm around in life, whether it comes to friendship or church family, people come into our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Some people you meet and it's just a reason you connected with them. Others, it's a season. And others, it's a lifetime. And we've got people in this room here for a reason, here for a season, here for a lifetime. And after hearing your story, Andrea, you do not have a choice. You're a lifetime person, okay? Bottom line. We're going to start with Andrea's childhood in Romania and go from there. And what was it like as a little girl and the challenges you faced, health issues, family issues, and in Romania when you were a little girl? Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I have been a little bit sick.
So. Are we on, Tom? Okay, everybody can hear that?
I have been a little sick, so apologize if I sound a little funny. But I just want to say thank you for having me here, and I look forward to sharing my story. Just for context, I was born in the mid-90s, and so I came to Canada when I was about 10, so looking back at what it looked like to live in Romania, It was a challenging time. There was lots of things to be worried about, whether it was, you know, making sure that we had everything that we needed. We needed to make sure that we were doing the best that we could with what we had. And so as someone with a physical disability from birth, there was always challenges. There was always hospitalizations and surgeries and those really challenging times that really just trialed a lot of, you know, the hard stuff that my mom being, I was the firstborn, and so, you know, I believe that there was a lot of challenge, but there was also so much joy. From the beginning, the doctors were very discouraging in terms of what it looked like for the future. You know, there was things like, she may never talk, she may never walk. You know, she may not ever be able to go to a regular school. So, you know, those things in the mind of already struggling. You know, we didn't come from a lot of money, but we made do with what we had. But there was a lot that I think coming from a country that maybe doesn't have a lot, and if you didn't have funds, you basically didn't have anything. And so...
Yeah, you had mentioned the medical system is very different. We're so fortunate here to have a medical system.
Yes.
How did your medical system work, and how did it work for your disability?
I would say it was very challenging because money spoke when it came to kind of things. So we didn't have things like insurance and things like that. And so anything for the doctor to even look at you, money needed to be passed on. You know, and so, like I mentioned, I've had surgeries, and they are very expensive. There was times when we had to take out loans and things that, you know, are really challenging. But that's one of the main reasons why my mom worked so hard to bring me to Canada, because she really wanted me to have the best shot at a good quality of life. And so, you know, when I look back at all those challenges and the bullying at school and missing school all the time and all those things, I often think of, you know, having the opportunity to do those things, but if it wasn't for my incredible mom and my grandmother, I truly don't know if I would even be able to thrive as much as I do. And so that's huge.
You had mentioned, I know a lot of you support the Samaritan's Purse at Christmas, and it's wonderful to be able to give that gift, but you were on the other end of that.
Yeah, so I was in about grade one or grade two, so around 7 or 8, and I was going to a local Baptist church, attending Awana, and they got connected with the shoe boxes, and so I was able to receive one. And I truly remember opening that box and really just being so excited and getting a new Barbie, and like there was mittens and a hat and just like the most beautiful, thoughtful thing that I was just like, this is so cool. Like, what is this, right? But it really did put in perspective later on, you know, as I got older, how blessed I was to get one of those boxes. It still makes me emotional today of what a difference it made in my going to church and spending time in community and getting closer to God. So
I thought of that experience and just wondering what it would be like for those of us in North America who have only known so much, to be in a situation where that one small gift from another country would have blessed you so much. Your mom had to make a difficult decision in getting you to Canada, and that process of starting in Romania as a little girl and then transitioning to Canada. Let's just hear, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so like I said, healthcare was the biggest thing, but truly I spent a few years being raised by my grandmother, which was challenging on its own. After I had some breakdown in the family when I was much younger, my father left when I was about 5 years old, and I was cut off from most of the side of his family. It was a very challenging thing that I have a hard time sharing, because I don't see myself as this burden and this, you know, disabled individual in a negative way. But that's kind of how I was seen by that. And so to kind of help you understand a little bit more about that, it's hard to live without having the support of two parents, loving humans. And so I'm really, really grateful that I got to spend time with my grandma while my mom tried to make a life for us here. It was a hard few years of unknowing and really just hoping that this was going, all this hard work and her being away was going to be worth it, because I often thought, you know, she's like a superhero. Because to me, there's no amount of love that can be shown through gifts but more quality time and spending it to better ourselves and better our relationships. And so it really is a beautiful thing, but it was very challenging. And so I was quite young, right? I only came to Canada when I was 10. I knew no English. I had no idea what I was getting myself into, you know. And so there was a lot of unknowns, but I trusted that mom figured it out. I said, you know, let's just hope she's got this. And she always had. So I was like, no, this is it. But it really puts into perspective the kind of hard work that you see behind the scenes and how God kept her through some of the challenging times of being away from, you know, her very young daughter and her mom. And so it's funny looking back at it now, but...
Thanks. So mom gets to Canada. She finds a way to get you here.
Yes.
You end up kind of finding this different church community experience. And there's two little significant moments. One is the baptism message.
Yes.
And then the mission.
Yes.
Trip.
Yes.
And those two moments were quite extraordinary. So baptism and the mission trip and how that all blended together as God sort of gently directed you to himself.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of my younger years when I first came here just trying to settle, and was away from the church for a little while until about the end of high school, where I really was seeking that community, that guidance. As I had been part of church before, I was like, I still don't know where my place is. And so I spent a lot of my early 20s really just trying to fit in, but also trying not to get myself in too much trouble, because we know that can happen too. But I think I did pretty well. Anyways, and so fast forward to my early 20s, I'd say we had started over and moved over to Orangeville and we're looking for a home church. And so we spent some time at a church in Orangeville, which we absolutely loved. I am one of those people, I've told Pastor Dan, if I'm going to jump in, I'm jumping all in, or I'm not doing it at all, because otherwise I'm going to change my mind, and it's not happening. And so I started attending, and then I started getting involved in kids ministry. And in any capacity, whether I was volunteering on Sundays or midweek programs, and I was like, okay, doing the things. Okay, God, I feel closer to you, but this is still not it. I hadn't at this point. I was baptized in the Orthodox Church when I was born, but I didn't have like a baptism within a church as an older individual, or really that relationship that I really wanted with God. And so it came to me that after, you know, spending a little bit of time at this church, I was like, okay, so sitting in the pews, and I'm like, they say there's going to be a baptism a few weeks from now. I was like, God, is this you telling me I have to do something? Like, you have a way of bringing those up sometimes. But it wasn't the right time. But anyway, it passes on, and then next thing you know, they're looking at going on a mission trip. So I said, okay, another one? Like, really, God? Come on now. Like, what is it with you putting all these things in my way, but like, you're not really telling me what to do? Okay, like, I'm gonna just sit back here and see what you mean. So they said there's a mission trip, and I said, okay, I've never done this thing. I've seen missionaries come to Romania when I was little. I remember them coming and leading worship, and it was really fun because, one, I didn't really understand them because they were speaking English, and so I tried to understand what they were saying, but it was mostly through actions and things like that. But looking back, I'm like, is that what missionaries are? And do I want to go do that? I don't know. But by the end of that service, I had picked up the form, and I said, okay, I'm going to go talk to some people. I said, okay, I've made a few friends here. Let's see what they think about this thing. Do they think I'm totally crazy because God keeps putting these signs in my face? I don't know what he wants me to do with them.
And it's Guatemala, so that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, so, you know, like, I've never been anywhere but Canada and Romania, and that's it. So I wasn't one to travel all the time or anything. And they say, okay, we're going to go to Guatemala. We're going to, you know, build some things. I said, oh, I am not a builder. I can do kids. I can help with kids. I'm good at that. So I said, okay. So we're like preparing and we're doing the things. And then I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go. And so it was one of those moments of I'm like, I'm not really qualified. I go, okay, I haven't been baptized. I've been away from the church. Here I am, back and forth, all these things, not feeling worthy of going on this mission trip. But I said, okay, we're going to do it. Went through the process. To my surprise, they call me back and say, okay, you're going on this trip? I said, okay. All right, like, when do we leave? Because if I'm going to do something, I'm doing it all out, or I'm not doing it at all, right? And so we prepare for that. And the experiences I had there really shaped how I looked at my relationship with God, and the sacrifices that he did through sending his son. Because I truly was like, okay, these people that I'm going to spend the next 10 days with have very similar stories to myself in terms of how they've been raised and, you know, some of the challenges that they went through. So I said, let me go and give back. But I said, I don't know if this is it. Like, I've helped with teaching kids church, but I wasn't really sure. Like, no, maybe not. But you know what? I did incredible things while I was there, you know, between serving in many different ways and helping put a roof on a church that was, you know, damaged from some of the volcanoes that they had there, and that had erupted, and all these things. And I could go on and on about this, but...
And watching, you mentioned, watching the people who loved the children and worked hard, and just to see Christian people together, loving each other and on that mission trip. And then you get back here and you end up, ironically, wanting to improve your education, and you kind of Google search a list of schools, and you end up at Redeemer College in a psychology class, and someone opens up their computer with a sticker on it to do a seminar.
Yeah, but I guess I'll talk a little bit about the baptism. So I come back just before we get to that. And, I come back and I said, okay, I've seen what God can do. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it in my own life. Okay, what are the next steps? A few weeks later, there's another, you know, baptism call. And said, okay, can you go ahead and do all those things? And then my mom comes up to me and she says, can I do this with you? Like, can we do this baptism thing? I think I've really seen you just become a godly woman, and I really want to do this with you. And I literally had tears in my eyes because, you know, I'm like, mom's gone through all the trials that I can think of, and she still choose to follow Jesus and do those things. I continued to do what I wanted to do, and hopefully through my actions I would encourage others around me. But it was a very special moment to share with my mom, to both get baptized on the same Sunday by an individual I had gone on the mission trip with, which I got really close with. So there was just so many God moments in that time of like, what is God really showing, you know, and what you do, how you speak, and just everything in between. You really never know who is going to come along your way. So fast forward to me trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. I look at Redeemer, I get into this program, and I'm in a psychology class, and I see this damn sticker. And
I said, censor that. Just kidding.
Damn sticker. And it says Cook's Garage. And I said, Mom, I call her the next, after I'm done my class. I said, why does this sound familiar? We had just moved up to Mount Forest. Mom did have some car issues. So, you know, she brought over her car once or twice to Cook's. But I was away at school, so I didn't know where she went. I said, I've seen it because we like Tim Hortons, so it was on the way, right? But I hadn't been home a lot. But I was like, who is this guy? And why does he have that sticker? So fast forward, we actually get talking, and I realize, okay, we are from the same town. And indeed, his parents do own this damn shop that I was like, oh, okay. There's another God thing. You bring me to Redeemer, where I didn't even know there was such thing as a Christian university before I went searching. It was really late at night, and we've talked about this, but I often talk about my time with Jesus is spent a lot at nighttime because I have really bad insomnia. So I said, okay, well, he's the only one awake. I might as well talk to him. He's going to hear all me talking about all the things, and he's got a year to listen. So, hey, let me talk about all these things. So he just brings me over, you know, I'm talking to Jesus, and I'm like, okay, what do you want? All these things. So anyway, that's just a little bit about my connection with Eli. But it gets funnier.
So you're in the psychology class, and Eli just happens to be leading this seminar,
yes.
And he's got Cook's Garage on the back, and then you go home.
Yeah. And I go, okay. So I graduate last year, and I'm like, okay, we need to find a church. So I go, Mom, we're gonna watch all these sermons online first, and then we're going to go try out these churches, because I got to see the vibe of the sermons first. I said, okay, we got to figure this out. And they've always, my mom and my grandma have always gone with me wherever I drag them to, thank goodness, when it comes to church, anything. And so I laugh, I say, okay, we went to one church, I don't know, still not feeling it, go for a few weeks, don't know. And then on the Saturday, we had looked at a sermon from here, and who is up speaking on the stage? It had to be Eli. And I go, okay, God, you're really, really funny. I mean, I don't even know this guy. But, like, I know he lives in my town, and now he's at church. And what is he doing? Is he preaching? Because I don't know. Okay, I said, Mom, we got to go. We got to go. I don't know the specifics. I said, God's just saying, okay, we go. And so that's how we came to be at this church. So there's just so many God moments of funny things that have happened. But I do have to say, it might have been Eli that brought us here, but you've kept us here. So
there's been a number of people actually in this congregation that have meant a lot to you, and starting with your friend Xavier and his mom and others. And why don't you just speak into some of those people who have really made your journey here important?
Oh, goodness. I came here seeking community. I came here seeking godly people that were going to see the imperfect, challenging things that I've gone through, but still love me anyway. And you've really, really showed me that, whether it was Kathy or, you know, whether it was Lisa at the Gather 25, or whether it was Kim and Cameron and little Xavier that seems to be very fond of me, I think. Yeah, as you guys noticed, I really love him. He's a sweetheart, and his family has opened their arms and really just shown me love. And so has everyone else that I've encountered. But, yeah, I don't know how I do it. He just loves me a lot, and we get along really well, okay? That's all I got to say about that one.
I love the line you used when we were on the phone. There's a tagline that one of my professors at Bible school used to always say, and his phrase was, "The adventure of the Christian life should be characterized by this. There should be no explanation for your life apart from God himself." And as Andrea talked to me about being a little girl in the aftermath of the Ceausescu dictatorship in Romania, where you took little kids who weren't exactly how you perceive normal and discarded them. And then Dad decides with the whole side of the family to leave you. And then your mom makes a courageous decision to come here. Grandma looks after you. It's Brampton, which is not the easiest place to live.
No.
You find an amazing Pentecostal church called Broadway, which mentored you, and a baptism and a mission trip and Eli Cook. And now you're here.
Yes.
And I just think there's no explanation apart from God himself. And I just am so thrilled to see that in real time. And I know that you all have a story too. And we are looking forward to hearing those more and more. And as you mentioned on the phone, there's this desire now that you've been here for a while to engage in ministry, and you know the people around here who will plug you into lots of ministries, so there's lots for you to do.
Yes.
And I just wanted to read a couple things that kind of came to mind while we were talking. And Psalm 139 specifically says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, and in the middle of the night, when I can't sleep, and I can talk to you. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me." When you think of a little girl with no advantages except a loving mom and a loving grandma and a God who says, "I have my hand upon you." And a lot of kids out there like that right now. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide? I love this. Even if I settle on the far side of the sea, your right hand will hold me fast. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. When you talked about getting up late at night and talking to the Lord, I thought, wow. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not sleep nor slumber. The one who watches over you will never sleep. He watches over you, Andrea. He is your shade at your right hand. And the sun will not harm you by day or the moon by night. And in Psalm 68, he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. God is in his holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. So good. Sing to the Lord, sing praise to his name, extol him who rides on the clouds. His name will be praised forevermore. Normally, we close out these interviews with people praying for you. I'd like to ask you to pray for us and pray over our church. And you've had quite an experience, and we want to follow and lean into God like you have as a church and follow your lead. So would you pray over us?
Yes, I can. Lord, I just come before you, and I thank you for this wonderful time. I thank you for the sunshine and for the beautiful people sitting in these pews, for the worship team, the children, and everyone here. I thank you for their welcoming and kindness. I thank you for the beautiful friendships that they've shown to both me and my family. Lord, I come before you, and I thank you, and that you bless each and every one of these individuals sitting in these pews. Not everyone may have a personal relationship with you, Jesus, but I hope that one day they do. And if they do, that you strengthen it each and every day, and that you really show them that you are a loving father and a kind and beautiful and just incredible maker of all things. Because even through times of sorrow, even through times of challenge, we've always just had you. And God, we're just so, so blessed to have such incredible people here. And I'm so incredibly blessed to know each and one of you. And I pray that you continue to grow your faith. And always, always look up and know that he's got you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrea.
Before we, can I ask the praise team to come up before communion? Taya has to leave for Montreal. So we're going to do our song now instead of at the end. And then the people that are serving communion can come forward during that time.